how can your hospitality business survive the coronavirus pandemic? Which companies and brands will thrive afterwards and why? Learn how some of them are already stepping up and helping out by showing their altruistic side. How will you show yours? What can you do to help? You might be surprised, and you don't need a massive budget, and it'll put you in the right position when things pick up. I'm here talking to Professor Peter Jones, who's the Dean of eHotelier Academy and has had a distinguished career in hospitality, education and training with international projects for clients, and he's a visiting professor to a number of institutions. I'm Craig Thatcher, a branding specialist, creative director, business storyteller and film producer, as well as the author and publisher of Continuous Branding. And we're going to have a chat about these unsettling times. And I just thought I'd kick off by asking the question around why are hospitality companies and the industry in general well-placed, do you think, Peter, to thrive in the future?
I think it's got to be that the companies themselves have got to look beyond the immediate problem of survival where they can. I understand companies need to survive, but there is something about being in hospitality which is about welcoming, it's about being caring, it's having compassion for your guests, it's understanding what the guests are looking for. And those companies that can demonstrate those sort of core values now, I believe, will be the ones that will be in the best position in terms of coming through this particular pandemic and then thriving in the future. Because it is about what are their core values, how are they expressing their core values, and how will they be then expressing them in the future when it comes to looking after a very different type of customer experience.
I think that's a very positive way of looking at a very difficult situation at the moment, but I do share that. I know that actually, obviously, with airlines shut down at the moment, there's very little travel going on. But when we come out at the end of this, travel will pick up, but generally traveling will be less frequent. Perhaps people want to spend more time with their families, or they'll want the simpler things in life. So what if they value kindness and generosity over convenience and speed? What effect will this have on their future behavior? And it could have a massive impact on the hospitality businesses. So what you're saying is that actually you think hospitality industry in general is well placed if they stick to their core values?
Yes, I think they've got to know and understand what their core values are. And then to be able to exhibit their core values, even when they might be closed out. And then how are they going to develop those core values for what will be a different set of expectations on the part of the customer? I think we have to recognize that the fabric of the society as we have it now is changing fundamentally. It's not going to go back to what it was. People who think that, I think, are rather disillusioned. But what we will see, I think, is that people's priorities will have changed. They will have changed because of the very disruption, the huge discontinuity that's taking place in their lives now. And their priorities will start on the basis of their family, the small communities in which they work and operate, and those sort of tribal groups almost. And it's how do you satisfy the need for social contact within those types of settings, and how does hospitality respond to those changes in people's priorities? And I think you're right in that it needs to be considered. It will be a slower pace. People aren't necessarily looking immediately for convenience and speed. One thing that this period of time has taught probably an awful lot of people is slow down.
That's interesting you should say that, because I had a conversation with my wife the other day and she said actually we might value patience a bit more for that very reason. And that's why I thought I'd mention speed and convenience, which seems to be the things that have driven most businesses to, if you like, develop better products and services, is about giving their customers things faster, quicker, more conveniently. But actually we're at a point of change now that may turn those things on their head. So you're quite clearly saying that actually what people value now and what they value in the future will be different. And I guess everyone in the hospitality industry has to get close to their customers has to understand the changes and adapt and reflect those changes to be successful.
Yes, yes. I think what's going to happen first is that there will be changes to the social context in which hospitality is operating. And that means that people will want social interactions, but they're still going to be cautious about how those social interactions are going to be carried out. People are going to be, they need confidence. They need to build confidence in the product, in the brand, the service, and the experience that hospitality is going to be offering them. I think, therefore, we have to start to prepare for what that future might look like, and to be able to understand that it's no good just dusting off what you had in the past when you closed the doors and saying, okay, guys, come on, in you come. We're open for business, because people are going to be saying, okay, what business? Do I really want to engage with that business? And is that business creating the social experience that I'm now looking for?
That's quite a tough thing to ask people to get their minds around whilst they're worried about the lack of revenue they've got now, looking after the people that work for them, to think about actually how they're going to deal with customers in the future and their different priorities all at the same time. That's an enormous challenge.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I'm not belittling the scope of the challenge. What I'm trying to do is just to suggest that these things need to be thought about, that you can't just assume that when I open the doors, the previous business model that I had is going to work in the future. Because I think society, the way we work, the way we behave, the way that we live our lives, will have changed quite fundamentally. Yes, there will be elements of it that you could say, that's going back to where it was before. But I think there will be some quite fundamental fractures and shifts in the way that society will choose to behave. And it will be about building confidence, that they want to go out. I mean, people are human after all. They have a need for social contact. And I think hospitality has a key role in providing that social contact experience. But it will have to be a very carefully managed experience.
Yes.
Because people will, certainly in the medium term, I'm suggesting, will actually be cautious. They will want to build confidence about safety, about security, and about what that experience is actually giving them, bearing in mind that economically we may not be as well off as we were. We may not have the same levels of disposable income. But then on the other hand, I think people will also have come to realize that they probably don't need as much of material possessions as they've got now, and therefore they may be looking for more experiential possessions, if you can call them that.
That's interesting. I mean, that's quite a contrast. I'm sure Amazon are full-on delivering products to everyone's houses at the moment, because they can't go out shopping in the normal way. But looking for experiences, I think, is a good point. Let's come back to, just for a second, the way people are going to choose to spend their money. I agree. There'll be some people in societies who have been relatively unaffected by this. And what I mean by that is economically, because actually they're either working for or own companies that have done well as a result of providing foods or protective equipment or whatever. But there'll be a lot of others who have suffered because they're on the front line, and hospitality is unfortunately on the front line because of social distancing and the lockdowns and all the rest of it. But for the rest of us deciding where we spend our hard-earned money, I get a sense that people will be more careful about who they choose to buy from. So those companies that are into short-term profiteering, behaving badly is what I describe it as, to employees or to customers, you know, they'll be found out. I mean, if you're the cheapest in the market, then you can get away with it. So JD Weatherspoon's in the UK and Ryanair, they're the cheapest in their market. You half expect them to be a bit rude and a bit unforgiving when things are tough. But for the rest of the industry that have to rely on a price premium, whatever that is, they can't behave badly. One, it's morally and ethically wrong. And two, I don't think it makes commercial sense. So I believe that customers will be less tolerant of bad behavior. I think selfishness will go out of fashion. So those brands and companies that have been selfish, I think, will pay the price. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, no, I agree entirely, because I think public sentiment's changing. If you look at the way that people now perceive the different sets of values in the services that they're being provided. So, clearly the main example is anybody who works in the health service. And the health service, of course, are definitely the people that we are now looking to try and manage and to get us out of this particular situation. But there's also that whole raft of key workers that sit underneath that public service, whether it's the guy who empties your bins, whether it's the teachers, in fact, who are maintaining presence in school so the key workers can go to work. Now, if you look at the way that people are responding to those key workers, it has a fundamental shift in terms of people's sentiment. So before, key workers were considered to be, oh yes, they're important because they empty the bins, but actually they're not valued because we don't pay them very much. So we didn't, as a society, value their contributions, but all of a sudden, their contributions are absolutely essential to our society. So I think you're going to see a big shift in that sort of public sentiment. And the public sentiment will be shifting in such a way that says the people that we valued because we were reliant on them during this problem are the ones that we are going to support in the future. And I've made the comment before, but it would be an incredibly foolhardy politician that would suggest that nurses don't deserve a pay rise, for example. You know, so that public sentiment is going to change, and that public sentiment changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we start to behave. And those companies that have resonated in the public sentiment because they've demonstrated those hospitality values of care, compassion, welcoming, and so on, are the ones that people will remember.
Yeah.
They will also remember the negatives and think, no, why should I go and spend my hard-earned money with those? They didn't help anybody during this crisis. Whereas what about these guys that made their hotel available for key workers? They were being taken over by the homeless and so on. They're actually representing that they valued and they're making a bigger contribution to society as opposed to just trying to maintain a financial contribution to their owners.
I think it's a good point. I think... I was going to ask you whether you can think of some examples of companies and brands behaving well. And I've got some examples, one from the hospitality sector and others not. I think the key thing, though, is to decide as a business whether you can support directly health workers and key workers. And most of us can't because we don't have the technical expertise. But actually, there are, as you say, a whole load of people that have to continue to work that are now are critical to helping those key workers stay in work to take care of those people that are affected. And also, there's everyone else who's working from home. So everyone needs support. I think UK Hospitality just said that 200 different hotels in the UK have made 20,000 beds available for healthcare workers and key workers deployed to areas of high need. Now, this could save some of those hotels from going out of business and keep their people employed. And you've heard of vacuum cleaner manufacturers like G-Tech turning their engineering prowess to come up with novel ventilators for the health service. And two clinical psychologists from Psychology Tools have published a free Living with Worry and Anxiety Amidst Global Uncertainty PDF, which is fantastic because mainly this website deals with therapists who help their clients. But they've decided to make free resource available because they know that actually there's a lot of people worried about what's going to happen. So that's a nice thing to do. And an example from the home accessories and furniture world is a company called Neptune, who's simply sent out an email to all their customers just with a list of things they'd found on the internet that actually would make their life a little bit easier. Now they're all confined to their homes. So there's lots of things that businesses can do that are free, that are helpful to their customers or clients. They may be small things, but actually at this particular time, small things can actually make a big difference.
I, I think that's right. It is, small things mean a lot. And there are very good examples of, well, perhaps better known in London, of organisations which are actually feeding large numbers of people. There is one of the restaurant groups, for example, that's put together a team of volunteers, and they are actually feeding some hospitals. So they're actually providing food for NHS workers. Yeah. And you've got very good examples of that, which has happened on a localised basis. Now, I think about this from the point of view of, well, what can we offer? Well, if you look at it from a business point of view, if they're saying, okay, I'm furloughing these staff, that means that actually they're getting, the government is going to underwrite 80% of those guys' salaries. Mm-hmm. Now, why can't those guys actually have skill sets that can be used in a volunteering capacity? If they're chefs, waiters, whatever it happens to be, they've got skill sets of hospitality which can help in that sort of caring, compassion world, which is the world that we're currently living in. So the way I look at it is that those companies that are demonstrating that they can make facilities available in the way that hotels are, restaurants are, because they're using their kitchens to provide food for other people and so on, that caring and compassion is what really is going to shine through, I think, in the longer term. And as a hospitality, as an industry, it should be in our DNA that we actually care for people. Why else are you in hospitality, for goodness sake, if you don't actually care about the person that's walking into your business?
I think you make a very good point. And I think the sooner the hospitality industry understands that actually they're very well placed to take advantage, that's not what I mean, well placed to survive and thrive going forward by just going back to what they do best, and that is understanding their customers and actually caring about them, then the business will follow through. And also, I would go back to a point I made earlier on, is not to get too worried about who you help, because everyone needs help regardless of which situation they're in. And so if you don't feel able to help the technical frontline people in the health service, then there are key workers or there are self-isolators that do need help. I mean, even if at a local level, you're phoning a neighbour to check that they're okay, offering to buy supermarket stuff for them. At that most basic level, all of that helps. So we've covered quite a few different of issues off here, Peter. What would you say the key takeaway from this discussion should be to somebody who's listening in, who's worried about running their business now with limited revenue coming in, worried about the cash flow, worried about the people that work for them, and worried about what the next few months are going to hold? What's your advice?
I understand all their worries. I'm involved with a local charity, and that charity provides hospitality training for vulnerable adults with mental health disabilities and mental health problems. And we provide practical training. We can't do that now because we just don't have the facilities to be able to do that, and they're vulnerable anyway. But we have kept our centre open, and we're providing, on a limited way, we're providing food and ready meals for our local, those people that live in our immediate vicinity, in our local community. Now, it's those sorts of things that I think I would suggest that, as you say, it's about being small. It's actually making a difference in the context of your local community. And what I would say to hospitality businesses is just look. I know it's tough. We've had to furlough our staff and do all the same things as anybody else would need to do. But it's just looking beyond that. Just try and lift your eyes a little bit to see the community that you're operating in. And so, just ask the question. How can we help this community? What do we have available to us that can actually be a benefit to them? It may be just you've got skills that you can be using. It may be that you've got resources that you can be using. But just try. Look above that horizon. Look at why you came into hospitality in the first place, because you care about people, and just try and do something about it, no matter how small.
Oh, Peter, it's been great to talk to you. Until the next time we chat, speak to you soon.